The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
And I was sitting there listening to the choir sing and reflecting on how the Lord is my strength. And whether you know it or not, God is your strength too. If he's not, you don't got none. You know, if he's not your strength, you don't have any. I remember a particularly stressful time in my life. I won't go into all the details, but I wondered how I survived. Have you ever been through a place like that? When everything was dark, you couldn't see the way before you. It just seemed like everything nailed down and come loose. And you know, life was coming apart at the seams, and it seemed there was nothing anyone could do. And I learned the truth of that passage that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you haven't been in a place like that, just wait. It's coming. It will arrive. It was a Job who said, man is born of trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, have you ever seen a fire where the sparks flew downward? Oh, come on now. You know, they go out to the edge and fall out there somewhere. But if you're right around the fire, all those sparks go up. And Job said, man is born to trouble, even as the sparks fly upward. And most of the sparks I've ever observed flew upward. So we are pretty well bound and destined for trouble. If you're not in a situation like that where you have to lean on the Lord or you have no one to lean on, where he has to be your strength or you have no strength, just hang on, it's coming, and you'd be wise to look to the Lord in those times. Let him be your strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. He is my horn. And that in the Old Testament, a horn means strength. It's an emblem of strength. He's my shield. You know what a shield is for. He's my fortress and the lifter up of my head. When everybody around says there's no help for him in God, God lifts my head. Yes, he does. He's my rock. You ever wonder about that? You know, around here, if a wild hog gets after you, you look for a tree to climb, don't you? There ain't no trees over there to climb. You got to find a high rock. The Lord is my rock. He's the place I go for retreat and safety. When I need escape, I flee to the rock that's higher than I. You know that. You just have to think about it a little bit. Well, let us exalt the name of the Lord. Let's praise the name of the Lord because he is indeed our strength. Now, I want to invite your attention today to a beautiful verse, John 13. Two verses, in fact, John 13, 34 through 35. I'm going to read those as my custom is. And then we're going to peel them apart and milk them for all they're worth, okay? And see what it is that God has to say to us this morning. John 13, beginning at verse 34. This is at the table of the Last Supper. Among other things, Jesus said, very importantly, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. A new commandment, he said, a new commandment I give to you. You're well aware of the fact that when Israel came up out of Egypt, they camped for a while at the bottom of Sinai, and God summoned Moses up on the mountain for a meeting with him. I wonder if Moses went with the same fear and trepidation I would have gone with had God said, I want you to come up here, climb this mountain, because I need to talk to you, boy. I got a message for you. I would have gone with fear and trembling. Lightning split the skies and thunder, peals of thunder shattered the desert air. And angry clouds boiled about the peak of Sinai as Moses climbed to meet with God. God met him there, and you know the story, with his own finger on twin tablets of stone. God engraved the Ten Commandments, of those we are fairly well familiar with. Though I discovered over the years of teaching at the university that most students can't quote those in order, and I assume their parents can't either. You know, we say we believe them and we uphold them, and we can't even quote them or write them in order without checking the book. It's all right to check the book, but I don't think we put as much store by the Ten Commandments as we should and as we say we do. But most people do know there are Ten Commandments, but there are very few that know that there is, in fact, an 11th commandment. You got them right there, huh? Wave that card. There is an 11th commandment. It was in the upper room at the table of the Last Supper that Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you." 10 at Sinai, 1 at the supper. The 11th commandment fell from the lips of Jesus at the Last Supper. And I want you to hear him. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And by the way, one another is not somebody on the other side of the world that you've never met nor are likely ever to, unless you meet him in glory. The one another's you're supposed to love are, guess what? The other members of this church and the folks in this community. That's the one another's. There are something like 25 or 30 passages in the New Testament that mention one another. And we all like that. "I just love everybody." I used to get so tired of people saying that. "I just love everybody," but they couldn't get along with the next door neighbor. You know, and that's the one another Jesus was talking about, right? Conflict over the backyard fence, but I love everybody. Just love everybody. Don't tell me that. Just love them. Don't try to convince me. "A new commandment I give to you." And so in this 11th commandment, Jesus had some things that we need to hear this morning. Number one, the 11th commandment speaks of love's priority. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." That Jesus urged it on his disciples at this time and this place shows its great importance. Usually a man who is about to die, if he knows he's about to die, will stick to the most important things in his heart, right? Or if he doesn't know he's close to death, he may waste the time talking about something that doesn't really matter, or talking about things that are not close to his heart. He may talk foolish stuff, or even die in silence. But a man who is dying and knows he is dying, knows that he is at death's door, is going to focus on the deepest concerns of his life. Folks, this is Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. This is his last private conversation with his disciples. And so Jesus surely would have zoned in on the most important concerns that he had in his heart. This is love's priority, because before he talked about where he was going, he said, "I'm going away," but he didn't talk about where he was going. Before he talked about his coming death to his disciples at the supper, before he talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit to take his place, before anything else, Jesus said, "I want to give you a new commandment. I want you to love one another." Before he mentioned anything else, he pressed on them the duty of Christian love. That was the most important thing in our Lord's heart toward the end of his life. He knew the cross was right around the corner, and he had to get this said. You must love one another. Now, the Lord's words left a deep mark on the Apostle John. It was an early Christian by the name of Jerome who said that when the apostle grew old, he fell to repeating the words of Jesus. That's what he would do. He'd sit around and quote Jesus. Just repeat the words of Jesus. And then as the end drew near and he got more and more feeble, all he could remember was love one another. And then at the very end, he just fell to saying love. Just love, love. Because you see, in that one word, there was the heart of the Christian faith. Can I tell you this morning that without love, nothing else really means anything? Without Christian love, nothing else means much. Did you hear about the second grader who came home one day from school? He was learning to add and subtract. And his mother said to him, "How's mathematics going? How's your arithmetic going?" And the little guy said, "Well, you know, Mom, I really have trouble with those numbers, but I can add up zeros like crazy." Now, can I remind you that no matter what else you do, if you lack Christian love, you ain't doing nothing but adding up zeros. Just adding up zeros. Do you remember what Paul wrote? This is an amazing passage, 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to his words again as he begins that chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, whatever that means, if I speak with human tongues or angelic tongues but have not love, I'm just a noisy gong that goes boom, 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 boom when you hit it. I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Doesn't mean anything to anybody. I've said nothing that would profit anyone. And continuing. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, that is, if I can foretell the future, and if I understand all mysteries, if I can explain the Trinity to you, and if I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, or in the days of Al-Qaeda, to be beheaded, but have not love, I'll gain nothing. Paul said the most important thing in your Christian life is the way you love other people. Can you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that? Yeah, it's important to do a lot of other things, but if you don't have Christian love in first place in your life, you're just adding up zeros. Totally is to it. So, the 11th commandment tells us about the priority of love. Second, I see here also the 11th commandment sets out a pattern for our love. Jesus said, just as I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. Now, what does it mean to love? Nowadays, love is a shapeshifter. I had to be sure and say that right. It's a shapeshifter because it covers everything from biscuits and dogs to your wife and your children and everything from Hollywood to heaven, you know. It's just applied to too many things. It's a word that's so broad it has very little meaning at all. And I scouted through the Bible to find a definition of love where Jesus defined it and discovered he never told us what love was. He never gave us a dictionary definition. He just gave us the greatest demonstration of love in all the world. And so our job, our business, every Christian's business is to find out how Jesus loved and follow suit. As I have loved you, he said, I want you to love each other. So how did Jesus love us? And I've offered you in the sketch some ideas that I want to touch on. I may say some things in the sketch I'm not going to say here. I may say some things there I'm not going to repeat publicly. But you have a pretty good suggestion there. For example, Jesus' love was prideless. How do I know that? He had no pride. His pride was left far behind. Well, his dissension, the fact that he left the brightness and splendor of heaven for the blackness and squalor of this earth shows he had no pride. Remember this, he was the darling of heaven, and it was only love that would draw the eternal sun from the ivory palaces into this world of woe. It was only love that led him, though he was rich, to become poor for our sake, do you see? He who owned the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine hurled himself into a life of poverty. The Son of Man, he said, well, birds of the air have their nests and foxes have their dens. The Son of Man doesn't have any place to lay his head. He had no home, had no place to call his own. Nothing did he own except the garments on his back. And this being who was God of very God, light of very light, laid aside his garments of glory in heaven to hang naked on rough timbers in public view. I say to you, there's not an ounce of pride in Jesus. Not one ounce. His love cast out all his pride. There was nothing Jesus was too good to give up. There was nowhere Jesus was too good to go. There was nothing Jesus was too good to do to serve other people. Love had cast out all his pride. Now, let me make an application here. If you are too proud to take the last and lowest place, in whatever's going on. If you say, if I can't beat the big bass drum, I'm not going to play in the band. If I can't be the drum major, I won't participate in the parade. There are people in church who say that, you know. They got to have the biggest and best and the brightest place around, or they won't do squat. If you're one of those people that's full of pride, too proud to take the last and lowest place, too proud to stoop to the bottom to lift up a fallen soul, too proud to go to someone you've offended and ask them to forgive you, you don't know anything about Jesus' love. His love is prideless. And he said, folks, look at the way I've loved, and you go love the same way. Go love the same way. His love was prideless. Not only so, but his love was boundless. His deeds proved that. Jesus shocked all the bigots in his day by loving everybody he came into contact with, everyone within reach. In his days, the Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. And men had nothing to do with women. It was a man's world, and the women were tolerated. But the Jewish man, Jesus, reached out to the Samaritan woman at the well of Sychar up in Samaria. The Jews wouldn't speak to lepers. You were forbidden to even look at them. And Jesus touched them and spoke to them. The Jews shunned publicans and sinners. Jesus partied with them. He went to dinner with them and sat with them at the table. I'm impressed that wherever somebody raised a wall, Jesus broke it down. His love was boundless. It was inclusive and not exclusive. Now, let me bring this to bear. You know, I had a student once who said to me, I just can't stand Asians. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, she'd make my skin crawl. You know, I know people who can't stand African Americans. I know people who can't stand Hispanics. I know people who can't stand Asians. You pick a racial group or pick a minority group of some kind, and if the truth is you can't stand them, I propose that you do not know the love Jesus told you to have for them. Let me go a little further. Joyce Landorf, I don't know if you know that name. If you don't, you need to read her book on irregular people. You know, you can go shop for irregulars. You know what that is. You go in a store and buy irregulars. It's a name brand something, but it's got a little something wrong with it. Maybe missing a button. The stitch may not be exactly right, or you know, just a little something wrong with it. Joyce Landorf says there are irregular people in everybody's life. And most of the time, it's family members. Don't look at your family member that's irregular. Just think about them, okay? Isn't that the truth? People are just a little off, you know? You just have trouble getting along with them. They're irregular. And the point I want to make is this, not that everybody has them, but that Jesus said, you got to love them. Same way I love you. Do you see? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. If you draw lines anywhere and put people outside your love, you don't love like Jesus did. His love was boundless. Here's the third thing. His love was selfless. His death proved that. Jesus never thought of himself. He only thought of others. Had he been thinking of himself, there never would have been a cross. If he'd been thinking of himself, he would never have died on Calvary. But he didn't think of himself. When he was on the cross, as the gospel song says, I was on his mind. And you were on his mind. He went there not for his own good, but for your good. His love was selfless. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And if love meant the cross, then Jesus was ready for the cross. And in the chilling winds of an April morning, in the 18th year of the Emperor Tiberius, the word love became dyed blood red. And nowadays we understand love in the light of Calvary. That's real love. Selfless love. Selfless love. It's been defined in terms of a lonely cross wedged into the rocks just outside Jerusalem. That's love. You know, I suspect that Mooringsport Baptist, as much as any other church I know, needs a good dose of Calvary love. Selfless love. So often at the back of things, it's me and mine that really matter. Do you ever get that impression? Do you ever stop long enough to wonder why you do what you do and why you don't do what you do? So often at the back of everything, it's me and mine. My real concern is me. And I submit today that a Christian who thinks more of himself than of others, who thinks of him or thinks of himself more than he thinks of others, doesn't know Calvary love, doesn't know what it is to love as Jesus loves. And the fourth thing I want to say about it, fourth thing I see, is that Jesus' love is endless. From the cross he declared, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The folks he was talking about had mocked him and abused him. They had hated him and hounded him to the cross. And yet he was saying, "All of you, listen, you don't know what you're doing. I loved you in life. I love you in death. I will love you forever. There is nothing you can do that will make me stop loving you." Now think about that for a moment. Has anybody ever done anything that made you stop loving them? You think of anybody in your life that you don't love because you stopped loving them. They did something. Maybe something horrendous. It may have been really hurtful. They may have lied on you and sent you to jail. I don't know what's in your past. I don't know what lies behind. But the point is, if you have stopped loving someone for any reason, you don't love like Jesus did. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. Some years ago now in Mobile, I ran upon a woman who was an acquaintance of mine, and we were in church. I was preaching in the church that she was attending, and she hated her former pastor. She hated him. I mean, with a passion. She's very passionate about it. She said, while I was standing there talking to her, she said some nasty things about him. And then she said, what church are you a member of? I said, I'm a member of his church. And he is my pastor. And she said, I don't know how you stand him. She said, I won't even stay in the same room with him. And I called her name and said, well, you know, you ought to start working on that some, because you're going to have to spend eternity with him. If you go to heaven, you're going to have to spend eternity with him. Her face twisted and she spewed hate and said, if I have to spend eternity with Jack in heaven, I'd rather go to hell. Now I ask you, it didn't take much sense to figure out she didn't love like Jesus, right? You have to know much about her to know she didn't love like Jesus. My question is, do you really, truly love like Jesus? And in this new commandment, I see a third, the purpose for it. There's a priority of it. It was the most important thing on his mind as he approached the hour of his death. I see a pattern for it, and I've tried to spell that out. Now listen to the purpose for it. Because Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Second phrase, as I have loved you, in the same way that I've loved you, that you also love one another. And then he wrapped it up by saying, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Listen, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. A little boy was talking with his mother one day, and they were discussing being Christians, and he said, Mom, why don't Christians have a badge, like a Boy Scout or Girl Scout badge, and you could wear that badge, sew it onto your clothes, so everybody around would know that you are a Christian? And she said, Son, Christians do have a badge. Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The badge, son, of a Christian is Christian love. What is it that says to the folks out there, what is it that says to the folks in this parish, in the northern part of this state, and folks you do business with or go to school with or work with, what is it that says to them that you're truly a Christian? Oh, I can go down a list of things. Some say, well, I've been baptized. Well, that's good, but that's not it. Well, I go to church. Well, that's good, but that's not it. Well, I read my Bible. Well, that's good, but that's not it. Well, I talk about Jesus. Well, that's good, but that's not it. I could go on and on and on with the things people propose that would convince folks out there that they are truly Christians. Listen, the mark of a Christian is Christian love. How do you identify somebody as being the real deal? Because they love like Jesus did. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. You know, when you get right down to it, that's pretty frightening, isn't it? That scares me. That's scary. Jesus gave the world the right to look at you and judge whether you are a Christian on the basis of your love. How you love other people, if you love other people like Jesus did. And if they walk up and cast in your face the accusation, you're not a real Christian because you don't love as Jesus did, don't get angry with them. They're just exercising a right Jesus gave them. He said they'd know by how you love and whether you love as Jesus did. Anybody around who'd say, you know, he or she is the real deal because I see how they love. Or are there folks around that would say, well, they say they're a Christian, but I don't believe it. They're hateful and selfish and just plain mean. I think I've told you before, some of the meanest folks I've ever met were members of the churches I pastored. Some of the meanest folk. And I mean that sincerely. Some of the meanest folks I've ever met or members of churches I pastored or belonged to. On the other hand, some of the best people in the world were members of those churches. And I tolerated the mean ones just so I could hang out with the guns. But the point is, the purpose of this, of obeying this commandment, is to show the rest of the world that we truly know Jesus. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Feel the force of Jesus' words. This is an order. He's not giving us an option. He is giving us an order. And the question is, how are you obeying that order? This story, and I'll close. Mohandas Gandhi, you know the name Gandhi, the social reformer from the nation of India. Mohandas Gandhi told about being on a railroad train one day. He was in a railroad car. It was full. He was sitting across the aisle from a man that was chewing tobacco and spitting the juice on the floor. Nasty, nasty habit. Gandhi put up with it for a little bit, and then he asked the man, he said, would you please not do that? That is so filthy and disgusting. And the man didn't recognize who Gandhi was, and he was real rude in his reply and basically told him just to mind his own business. I'll do what I darn well want to do. And he did it again right in front of him. And then a little bit, the man began to sing. And the song was a song of praise to Gandhi. Relating the story later, Gandhi said, he is like so many other of my followers. They love to sing my praises, but they don't love to do what I tell them. Now, I wonder if Jesus might have that to say about any of you, any of us. Oh, they love to sing my praises, but they don't like to do what I told them to do. Would that be true of you? Would he say that of you? I wonder how the folks around here, I can ask you, do you love like Jesus does? But I'd get a better answer if I asked the folks that live around here. Do you love like Jesus does? I'd get a much better answer, wouldn't I? Wouldn't I? Jesus is the lover of your soul. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus. And some of you have yet to receive his love, to trust him, and accept the gift that he offers you, the gift of eternal life. He loves you. He loves you. He made nothing he does not love. I have quarrels with people who say God made some folks as fuel for the fires of hell. He's picked a certain number and they're all going to heaven, and the rest of them he made to send to hell. I say, oh no, that's not in the Bible. God made nothing he does not love. He even loves those fallen angels that rebelled against him. He made nothing he does not love. He is the lover of your soul. Let him redeem you. Let him do what he wants to do. And then the other question we all need to face is, do you love like he loved? Are you listening for God's voice this morning? Has God said anything to you about how you need to change the way you love people? If he has, listen to him and do what he says. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you for this 11th commandment. I don't do very well at following it. By fits and by starts, I've tried, and all too often given up. People have tossed unpleasant stuff into my life. At times I've resented that and didn't want to love them anymore. But Lord, today I stand rebuked because of all my failure to love as Jesus did. And I believe with my heart, Lord, that today you have rebuked others in this congregation for not loving as Jesus did. Lord, keep that model before us. Help us to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and to be made strong and to follow his example, to walk in his footsteps by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I don't know for sure what you've been talking to people about. Maybe there are folks here today who need a church home, and you're leading them to cast their lives with this band of brothers. Lord, lead them to make the decision and obey you this day. There are others, Father, that you may be trying to call into Christian ministry, and I pray they'd have grace to say yes. There are folks here today who just need to surrender to the loving Savior and give to you their heart and love you and serve you. Father, I don't know what you've been saying to folk, but whatever it is, give them grace. Give us all grace to say yes to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.